This is Pierre Bouvier, lead singer of the band Simple Plan. I could sing a song for you, Wine 30, with Andrew and Lindsay. Here we go. Andrew and Lindsay hosting Wine 30. Andrew and Lindsay. Through all the best and many more years to come tonight. I'm just a kid. Many more years to come. Peace.
So today we are drinking an Idle Cellars 2014 Merlot. It is from the Sonoma Valley, and there were only 166 cases produced of this wine.
Wow, that's some small batch right there.
So how many is considered a case? Is that 6 or 12? Or 20, or 40, or 50? Like, what? How big is a case of wine?
Doesn't a case of wine have 6 bottles
in it? That's what I thought.
Yeah.
So in that case, there's probably about... what, like 800, 900, like, bottles produced? That's pretty good.
It sounds about right.
Relatively small batch, like, compared to, like, Chandon or, like, Mum or Mondavi.
Some quick math there.
I mean, it's probably very inaccurate math, but it was quick.
Does it say reserved on the label?
It does not.
So it's not, like, specially picked or anything. I wonder if it's just, like, a... small.
I think it's just a smaller winery.
Yeah.
Do you want to hear their fantastic description on the back?
How can I not want to hear that?
Watching the storm roll in from the valley, the jazz music grooved with the echoing sounds from outside. We made ourselves comfortable for the lightning show. Glasses of deep red wine in hand, a taste followed each thunderclap. Hints of emerald blue sky were in the distance, expanding with fervor and pushing the storm over the rooftops to the east. Another bottle sat, waiting to be opened for the calm after the storm. That's the what they wrote is the description on the back.
Oh, wow. That was very enchanting.
Yeah. Which then on the website, it's like leaving the club at sunrise with a different set of friends than you arrived with.
Wow.
That's that's the swine.
It's very fun. The label reminds me of, it's very Eastern influenced, Eastern culture, would you say? Like, it's like, it reminds me of like IP Man or like a martial arts movie.
It reminds me of like that Japanese, like, not calligraphy, but like the writing they do with like that paintbrush type thing. That's kind of what the writing on it looks like. A lot of the words they use to describe the flavors online are like intricacy, seduction. Like, they're very like wordy. They do say it tastes like dark chocolate, raspberries, black currants, and black cherries, and then a hint of tobacco, violet, black pepper, and vanilla.
I'm definitely getting that tobacco.
And they say it would be good with, Gruyere cheese, short ribs, and mushroom stroganoff.
Yeah.
And he's like, of course.
Of course.
All of those things.
Yeah. I mean, cheese just in general goes really well with wine.
For a Merlot, this is like not my fave.
Yeah.
Like, I hold Merlots to a very high standard because I've had so many really good Merlots. And for this one being a 2014, it's like... retails for almost $40, and I feel like it tastes like a $7 Merlot to me.
What about the taste does that?
I think it's the tobacco flavor, but the fact that it's not like full, like, rich body. Like, if you have tobacco flavor, but you have like a really rich, like, everything else.
I mean, it's a pretty robust wine, don't you think?
But I find it to be thin. Like, it feels thin to me for a Merlot.
Okay.
Whereas, like, some Merlots you have are, like, velvety and, like, smooth with, like, a little bite. This is just, like, I don't know, maybe too much fruit with it or something. I don't know. There's just something about it to me that I'm just not impressed.
There's a lot going on with this wine.
That might just be it. There might just be too much, like, too many different flavors and notes going on. But it is a 2014, so the thing is, if at some point in time it wasn't like in the perfect environment, it could also change the flavor of the wine. So like even in shipment, it could have been like, oh, it got a little hot and then it got a little too cold. And then like you get some weird stuff going on there. But moving on, let's talk about something more exciting. What have you been watching this week?
I have been watching, did we finish the Kominsky Method?
We did.
We finished that. Sad times. I thought we finished it last week.
We did.
Okay. Well, that's still really relevant. We've been watching some Sailor Moon. I pretty much have just been falling asleep to stuff, which is a bad habit, but I can't remember any of it. So I don't know what I've been watching. What have I been watching? Oh, YouTube. I've been watching a lot of YouTube.
Yeah.
Because I've been watching, like, for instance, there was this, I can't remember their names. I should have written it down. But there was a scientist, somebody was interviewing a scientist, and I was like, total jealousy. I was like, why haven't we interviewed any scientists?
Like, why in our podcast do we not have a room like that where we sit down with scientists and wear suits and interview the scientists with suits on?
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know.
We could have that someday. So
I watched Felicia Day play No Pixel. I put it on our TV in our bedroom and I watched it for like 3 hours the other night.
Yeah.
That was a fun time. I also finished Sailor Moon Eternal. I think I finished Sailor Moon Crystal this week as well. And then, I mean, that's basically what I've been watching. Like, I haven't been watching a lot of other things. I started watching Girlfriends because I just put Netflix on shuffle. Oh, I did watch Starstruck on HBO Max the entire season. It's only 6 episodes and they're only 20-minute episodes. And I basically watched the whole thing in one sitting.
We've also been finished Adventure Quest.
Mythic Quest. Well, we finished the first season of Mythic Quest and then now we're like halfway through the second season of Mythic Quest.
Yeah, really good. I recommend that one.
Yeah.
I think they did a good job.
Me too. So what have you been reading?
I haven't really been reading anything different than last week. Although I did download a new comic book, but I can't remember the name of it.
Nice. I have like my list of things that I'll probably be reading this week because I have my surgery on Wednesday, the day that this comes out. And I have like a list of books that I'll probably like either bring with me to the hospital or like have by my bedside when I get home. The chances of me actually reading them, I don't know, because if I'm on painkillers, I don't know if I'm actually going to pick up a book and read it or if that's just wishful thinking.
I'm going to the library tomorrow, so I'm going to rev up my reading book brain muscles.
Yeah. One of the guys that Andrew's been watching on YouTube, I guess, has a book.
Yeah.
That Andrew now has to read. So he'll let you know about it after he reads it. What have we been playing?
Town of Salem.
Lots of Town of Salem.
Yeah. What have you been listening to?
What have I been listening to? A whole lot of nothing, actually, which is really bizarre. Like, I haven't been just, like, listening to anything.
Yeah. We need some recommendations.
I know. It's weird. I've been waiting for 1989 to come out, Taylor Swift's, like, re-recording of it, because I know it's next. And I keep like waiting and waiting and waiting for like the announcement and for it to come out. And she came out with 1989 merch this week, so I know it's coming soon, but hasn't come out yet. Maybe it'll come out like while I'm in surgery and I'll wake up and they'll be like, new Taylor Swift music. And I'll be like, it's great. And then I can just jam to that all week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what topics do you have?
Well, before we talk about topics, I want to talk about our sponsor. Because this is actually one of my very favorite sponsors that we've had on this podcast, and that is Way. So I love Way because they have this detox shampoo, which is like apple cider vinegar. And it's so apple cider vinegar like really detoxes and like draws out any like buildup in your hair. But a lot of apple cider vinegar shampoos smell like really disgusting, and they actually make their smell like absolutely gorgeous. It has like rose and cedarwood and white musk. And it's like, it's very dreamy and it's just really nice. And my hair feels so good. And then afterwards I like to do like their thick hair mask because I have really thick hair. And then I don't even have to condition my hair if I do the mask and my hair is just happy and healthy And then I can put like the hair oil in, the rose hair oil afterwards. And it is literally my favorite hair brand in the entire world. And so with the shampoo, you just use it like once a week and it neutralizes product buildup, oil, dirt, hard water, all of that, which is huge because we have super hard water here. And it's great for all hair types, even hair treated with keratin, chemicals, color, or Brazilian blowout. And Way was created by celebrity hairstylist Jen Adkin, who is a phenomenal person. Everything is cruelty-free, sulfate-free, and paraben-free. And we want to give you guys a 15% off discount code. So when you're ready to undo some damage, hit the reset button with the Way Detox Shampoo. Go to theouai.com and use code WINE30 to get 15% off your entire purchase. That's theouai.com and code WINE30 for 15% off.
Yeah.
Andrew uses it too.
I do. What's not to love about good hair products?
Exactly.
So go hit me with the topic. I'm ready.
So did you hear that police are investigating the death of TV anchor, like the TV anchor who uncovered the Clinton tarmac meeting? They had ruled his death as a suicide, but now the police are actually investigating it as a possible, like...
Oh, good. That was the guy that wrote the book, right?
Yeah. So they're actually delving into that now.
Good.
And, like, investigating that, which I think is freaking crazy because it's been...
Yeah.
It's been, what, four years?
People should not get away with murder with the technology we have.
And at first they're just like, it's a suicide. Now I think because of like media pressure, they're finally being like, okay, well, like, let's look into it and see.
Yeah.
But it's been so long. How can you rule a suicide and murder this late unless they already have some sort of evidence that it wasn't?
Well, maybe it wasn't ruled suicide. It was just unsolved. Like, and the media placed it as a, because whoever murdered him probably had a lot of influence is what I'm guessing. And so,
well, it would probably be someone attached to the Clintons.
Exactly. So if you have like an in with like a reporter, right, or several reporters, then you're going to be able to get that story, the agenda said. So I don't know what kind of relationship the police department has with the news sources, but if the news sources aren't going to the police and getting the information from the horse's mouth, they're just gathering inside information, then they could be very misled very easily. So I'm kind of curious to see what happens there. That's interesting news.
Me too. So a show that we had been watching for a while was Harley Quinn on HBO Max. And it's a little bit more progressive than most of like the animated DC shows. There's also swearing. It's very violent.
The humor is really awesome.
Yeah. So something that they mentioned this week is that DC pulled the plug on an entire scene in this upcoming season because they had a scene of Batman going down on Catwoman. Not like they weren't like showing like anything graphic, but DC pulled it because they said that they can't sell Batman toys if... Like, people won't buy them if they know that Batman goes down on women.
Really?
But, like, they have Batman have sex with women all the time.
Right.
So, or like...
insinuated sex. Yeah.
And, like, if they insinuate that Harley Quinn gives a blowjob, that's not a big deal.
Or Joker raping Batwoman. Or
Batgirl. Batgirl. Yeah.
Like...
Or even Batman having sex with Batgirl. Like, none of that's an issue. But Batman going down on a woman won't sell action figures.
I feel like they should rethink their strategy, maybe.
Yeah, I was going to ask you what you thought about that, because I feel like it's very, like, misogynistic for them to be like, oh, well, like, people won't look up to Batman if he does that.
I mean, I think we always hear, like, how sex sells. Like, how
are you supposed to... Yeah, sex sells if it's the woman pleasuring the man.
Well, that's the agenda that they're pushing, right?
Yeah.
So that's kind of like misogynistic a little bit, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm not sure what their angle is, but I'll just have to wait and see if they come out with a little bit more information.
I'm actually wondering if, because this has now come out and people are going to be really upset about it, if they like change their mind and decide to include it in the season just to like shut people up.
I mean, it's such a good, like they did such a good job and it fits right in with the status quo of that show. And it's not a kid show.
No.
Like kids shouldn't be watching it anyway. So if that's what's holding back parents from buying toys for their kids, then that doesn't make any sense because it's not even gauged toward children, you know?
Well, I don't know if they're thinking that like adults that buy like the action figures won't buy them.
Oh, see, that's
like
just
the nerdy people that live.
Yeah.
I don't want to like generalize, but like I imagine they're like, oh, the people who live alone in their basements, they want to like.
Right.
So that's like fantasy of like Harley Quinn going down on him or
I mean, how is
going down on him, but not.
How is that not insulting to the people that are those people, right? That they're saying that about.
Yeah.
Like, how is that not insulting? What? You're not mature enough to like, what are they saying? What I'm hearing they're saying is those people aren't mature enough. We're not mature enough.
That's not part of their fantasy.
Right. But it is.
Yeah.
It is part of everyone's fantasy. I mean, like, it's not something I think about every time that I sexualize anything, but it is something that occurs frequently enough. So it's definitely a part of that experimental, you know.
I mean, it's just part
experiencing
of like,
life. Yeah.
I don't know. Like sex, like how can you include different types of sex and not like just cut that out completely?
It's like, I can't believe, you know, what kind of people are we? We're defending this crazy sexual fantasy. All right. So can we move on? This is, you know, I don't want to.
Yeah. I'm going to let Andrew go at the topic before I, you know, go off on something else weird.
Oh yeah. Okay. How do you feel about anti-vaxxers weaponizing Yelp to punish establishments that bars in general that require vaccine proof?
I think it's just so stupid. Honestly, I have read that a lot of businesses are struggling right now because people, not just bars, but either anti-vaxxers or like pro-vaxxers, like no one is happy when they go into a business and it's not how they want things to be. So like either they go into Trader Joe's and they don't require masks and that pisses people off, or they go into a bar and they do require masks or require vaccination to like take off your mask at a bar, and that pisses people off. So they're all going to Yelp and businesses are getting like inundated with negative reviews and they're just trying to start back up. They're just trying to get open. And I feel like honestly, Yelp should have like put a pause on reviews or anything that mentions masks or something, like maybe like put a like disclaimer at the top of them and be like, this is based on their political opinion. Like this, like there needs to be some way that these businesses aren't being hurt by people just being upset that the business doesn't follow their exact.
Right. Well, I don't want to come off as like a somebody who's just kind of prying a little bit, but what do you think about the numbers that are in saying that vaccinated areas, much lower COVID cases, incredibly lower, while unvaccinated case areas, really high COVID cases?
I mean, it makes sense, doesn't it?
It makes
I mean,
a lot
it's
of
science.
Sense. Yeah. So what do you feel about that though? Like, what do you think about
it? I mean, hopefully that pressures people that aren't vaccinated to maybe get vaccinated if they look at those numbers and say, wow, look, the people that got vaccinated are able to go out and not get sick. Because I think some places are like, oh, it's fake and if people are getting vaccinated, I'm fine. But I know Napa County is at what, 64%, 65% vaccinated right now, which is very close to the 70% they were hoping for. But then places I know in like, I'm sure there's towns in like Kansas and Arkansas and places where the percentage is probably like 20%.
Right.
And it's like, they are so far off from that herd immunity number.
So, I mean, if a bar sees that and they say, well, we're looking out for the health of the people coming to the bar.
Well, that's why I don't think Yelp should include those reviews or like,
I mean, I don't even really look at Yelp as
I do.
And I may come off as a snob a little bit, but I don't even look at Yelp as like a factor when deciding, you know. And Amazon reviews are very similar in that manifest, because there is some gray area there too, you know. So that's how I look at it.
Yeah, but I do have a friend that's currently looking for a new apartment, and like I've been helping her look, and I do know that Yelp reviews are something we've been looking at for the apartment buildings, mm-hmm. because they may look great, but if there's tons of reviews of people being oh, they have a bug problem, or oh, the management is really difficult and hard to work with, it's like those Yelp reviews are like very helpful in that circumstance.
Just take them with a grain of salt, right? Like,
but normally when I look up like a restaurant, if Google tells me it's over 4 stars, I'm usually like, good enough.
Yeah.
Or even over 3.5. A lot of times I'm like, good enough. If it says that a restaurant has like hundreds of reviews at 2 stars, that's a red flag to me.
I mean, I'm like you. I will look at the reviews and I'll read and see what people have to say. And then I kind of make up my mind based on that, on anything that I look at. So I just look at that as like basic research, you know, not beyond anything, but also not. That's like the minimum basic research you should be doing.
And I do feel like if you look something up on Amazon or Yelp or something else, and you're like, oh, like there's 16 one-star reviews, it's important to look at the one-star reviews and see why. Because a lot of times it's like user error, where they're like, I ordered this and I thought I ordered it in blue, but it came in black. And then I realized I ordered it in black. And now they are making it difficult for me to return it and get the color because it's now sold out. And it's like, well, that's on you. Right. Like, they cannot really do anything about it. So I think it's important to see why the reviews are bad. Sometimes they're legitimate. Sometimes they are not.
You're right. So what's your next topic?
So there was this guy that was swallowed by a humpback whale. And I had to read the whole story because I was like, how is this guy just smiling in the hospital room? Thumbs up. They have a photo of him. I guess he was a lobster diver and he was diving. All of a sudden, everything went black. And he thought at first that he had been swallowed by a great white shark because he sees a lot of them. And then realized that it didn't have teeth. And then it was like, I guess he could feel all the muscles and stuff. And then the whale like went out of the water and like spit him out. Because the thing is, a humpback whale's esophagus is not big enough to actually swallow a human. So they were just like, what is this horrible thing in my mouth that I can't get out? So it like spit the guy out and he was fine. But like, what kind of story is that? Getting swallowed by a humpback whale is like,
what
crazy.
Was this guy doing swimming out that far?
He was lobster diving. He's a lobster diver.
Oh.
So he was diving off of the boat. They like swim down and they dive for lobsters and, you know, got swallowed by a whale. And his buddies on the lobster boat like watched him get spit out by a whale. Like,
they all have their phones out video recording it.
Like, how crazy is that though? Like,
yeah, what a trippy story. It's like Moby Dick.
And now I'm scared. Of like
of what?
Going out in water where I might get swallowed by a whale. But now I know they can't swallow me.
Whales are really friendly.
I know.
You don't have to be scared about a whale.
I know.
Sharks are pretty friendly too.
So I do have a question for you.
Unless you're bleeding. Yeah. What's your question?
So do you think that there should be the right to be forgotten, which would be like teens who post on social media, do you think their posts should disappear after a certain time period? So like, 2 years later, like their posts start to like disappear.
I have mixed feelings because I do think that there should be an opt-in to use like for your intellectual data.
Mm-hmm.
So like, for instance, if, and this is a little off topic, but you know, Amazon and Google, whatever their house little things, Alexa, those things will collect your data now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no opt-in thing there. It's an opt-out, right? And if you miss the opportunity to opt out, then you are open and subjugated to having your data collected without you knowing, right? So, which they're assuming that you know.
But
so I think it should be an opt-in on that note. And to bring it back around, I think there should also be an opt-in to have it the right to be forgotten. Because essentially you're giving them permission to manipulate your page.
But what I'm saying is, like, we used to post on, say, MySpace, which now MySpace is all erased, so no one has access to anything from MySpace. But say Facebook, when Facebook started, and we were just typing whatever we wanted into Facebook, thinking, oh, only my friends can read these things on Facebook, and I'm young, and I'm dumb, and I'm going to post whatever I feel like posting.
I think
so. Do you think after a certain amount of time, like, anything that you post should just be, like, auto-erased?
Well, no. I think that you should have to opt in for that, because...
But do you think people should have the right to opt in for that?
Yeah. If you're like, I don't care about that stuff. Here's the thing. If I had a MySpace, you had a MySpace, mm-hmm. everyone had MySpace... We lost all our stuff. I never opted in. I should still have access to that. That's how I feel
about
it.
Well, they were bought out by another company, right, and they deleted everyone's
stuff. The software was bought out. Like, to me, that property that I uploaded, that was my property. Mm-hmm. And I should have access to that property. However, if they want to not let me use their software to show it off, fine. Whatever. They have all the right to do that. If Facebook wants to make it so nobody can see your page because you did something, you know, like, for instance, the president, right? Fine. But you should still have access to the information that was on your page mm-hmm. that you put there.
Yeah.
Right? Because otherwise it's theft. Like, I didn't give them permission. Like, I never opted in for them to take my information and use it, right? Or distribute or remove it or do whatever they want with it, delete it forever. I put my information on a product that they're using to make money off of. Well, so in a way, they're already using me to make money.
Well, technically, you could have opted in, because when you sign up, there is like a huge like terms of agreement thing that you have to like say yes to that no one reads.
Right.
So
well, you opt in or you can't use their service. Is that how it works?
Yeah.
So, but you can't upload images, right?
Well, all the images are still on MySpace, and you can still get all of your images off of MySpace.
I can't get my images off MySpace.
Well, that's because you don't know your login.
Right. So how do I get that?
I can help you figure that out. I figured mine out. I logged in. I found all my old images.
Oh,
but
okay.
My main thing that I was upset about is that all of my messages and comments are gone, and my like page layout that I spent like years perfecting, like the HTML on my page layout that was just like pristine and beautiful. And I want to see now what it looked like, but I can't see it.
Yeah.
And I want to see my top eight.
Right.
Who did I care enough to have in my top eight, you know, 15 years ago?
I don't know.
That's what I want to know.
Should have written it down. Yeah.
Taking photos on my flip phone and then uploaded to Photo Bucket.
I don't think they should automatically delete it, but I do think they should respect it if you want to delete it. Like, I know I went and deleted my Facebook and I wanted everything gone. And this was years ago. And they still have all my information. They still kept it all. They have all those pictures. So,
which they don't now.
They do.
It's not findable now, though.
Well, it's not findable, but if I wanted to remake my account.
If you went to log in with the same login info, I'm sure it would just reinstate all of those photos. Right. So it's in a database somewhere.
Correct. So they've basically gone against what I told them to do with my information. And that, to me, that's kind of shady.
Oh, you know, another way we could find your MySpace photos is I could just find your, while logged into my account, could just search for you.
Right.
And then like click on your page and see all your photos. But if you have any private albums, it wouldn't show those.
I think I did have some.
Yeah. I have a lot of private albums too, because I was like, I would upload things and then be like, oh, now I'm going to have less photos.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
People will like, you only want to
curate it the way you want it.
You
to
don't
look.
Want like 600 photos
of dumb
available.
Stuff.
Like,
yeah, you want to have like your best photos available.
Which, seeing my best photos, I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Like, what was I thinking there?
I know there was one of me just standing in my underwear in New York above the Times Square. Or not Times Square. It was the Garden. But I'm high up. And it's just me standing in like a penthouse in my underwear, drinking a glass of wine.
That's great.
It's really
awesome.
I hope
we can find that.
I'm 19 years old.
My grandparents were asking for photos of Andrew when he was younger to use for this collage. For like this wedding reception they're throwing. And it would be really fabulous to send them that photo to add to the collage.
Nice.
I think it would just really be the icing on the cake there.
Right. So, yeah, so that those are, I do have photos from MySpace that I, you know, entrusted that company to.
I have a lot of kissy face photos with like the one winky eye shut, like the one face that just happened to be
and
in every.
Another thing is I had a account with Yahoo. Mm-hmm. And I've remembered the password recently, mm-hmm. but they don't let you log in.
My Yahoo let me log in.
No, they sent the, because they're like, oh, we don't know. You haven't logged in so long. So they send a message
to your old
phone. My old phone. And it's like, what are you guys doing?
Why would I have the same phone 20 years later? Like,
yeah, like that's ridiculous. So I don't even know how I'm going to get that. But
I think mine may have done something similar. And I somehow found like a workaround to let them let me in.
Right on.
So we'll see.
We'll see. So I got one more topic and then I think we might have to call it.
Okay.
Ready for it?
Nope. But I'll take it.
Who was seen as a bad guy in history but was actually good? And I'm going to go ahead and remove a couple. Marie Antoinette. I can't even say her name. So she's one you can't talk about because we all know that she was actually a good person that kind of got the shaft. Mm-hmm. And then the Grinch.
Mm-hmm.
And then Monica Lewinsky. Because she's actually a good
person.
I was
actually going to say Karl Marx.
Karl Marx. Okay, go on.
Because his actual ideals and what he wrote, I think, get up very misconstrued by the media. And when they say communism, when they're like, communism bad, Karl Marx bad, Marxism bad. But it's like, actually, what he said in his ideals were very much like, I want everyone to be equal and everybody to make a livable wage and everyone to like be able to contribute. But also like, there shouldn't be that 1%.
Right.
Like, there shouldn't be poverty. Everyone should just be making, like, a livable wage, be able to do what they want, but also be contributing. And I feel like a lot of people look at communism and go, oh, look at it. Like, what it did to China. Look what it did to Russia. And it's like, well, they took his base and then tweaked it for themselves and changed it.
Right.
And he gets the shaft there.
Got it.
Even though his idea was really fantastic.
Right. But not really in real life. Like, it was a good, in a perfect world. Like, if no one's abusing anything, then it's great.
But there's always going to be the people who are in power who abuse that power. And then they're then the 1% and, like, push everyone else down.
Right.
So.
Good answer. Okay.
Who would you say? You're like, I was going to say Karl Marx, too.
You know, I can't take credit for this, but the captain of the Titanic.
Mm-hmm.
I guess in the movie, he shot a couple people and he also took a bribe, but there's no evidence in real life that
he did
that.
I don't remember him doing that in the movie. I thought he just went down with his ship.
Well, he was like, he took a bribe or something from...
Oh, one of the rich people.
And then he tried to return it, but that's beside it. But there was no proof, so they kind of drug his name. And the only evidence that they had him doing anything, really, was helping people on rafts until the ship sunk.
And he sunk with the ship.
Right. But they're saying he also did shoot two people, is what they're saying. But there's no evidence of that either. In the movie, he shot two people. Mm-hmm. So, two passengers that were trying to get, overflow a boat. Do you remember?
I think
I would have to rewatch too.
I don't remember that, but I could have just blocked that out.
I
don't
remember
honestly.
His name. I know it started with an M, but I can't remember the name.
I think there's a lot of people like that. And then there's also people that are like glorified, obviously. John Smith in Pocahontas.
Okay.
Really crummy guy in real life.
Yeah.
But. I mean, he was kind of crummy in the movie, too.
There's a lot of presidents that are kind of glorified, too, that were not great people.
I mean, most of them.
Most of them.
Let's be honest, most of them.
All of them have, like, skeletons in their closet, I'm sure. Jimmy Carter's one
nice
of the good
guy.
Ones, wasn't he? He's one of the good ones.
From what I can tell, I honestly think Jimmy Carter and Joe Biden are very similar.
Right. And then I think, he's one of the good ones. So we'll have to talk to y'all next time
on another episode of 130.